Why did you bother putting underscores this time, though? Like,
because sometimes it doesn't let me put the spaces in there.
What?
It literally tells me you can't put my space. I don't know what it's. First of all, it's told me that I've had 30 characters when I have not had 30 characters. It sometimes doesn't let me put the spaces, and I have to do underscores. It's just
You could just write Todd, and then it would solve all problems.
You could just shut up. It's not like you don't know who I am. You could just shut up.
I can always tell which one is you because it's always the one with the ridiculous name.
Yeah. So therefore, that's my calling card. This was one of my signature moves.
It's the calling card that no one sees.
It's clearly one of my signature moves.
I was editing the goddamn episode. I kept going, wait a minute.
That's eight signature moves you got here.
Anytime you do anything, I open the door. It's my signature move.
I should start naming my moves.
Oh, do it. I support this.
I should start naming them.
The way Todd would do it is he would try and name the moves, but incorporate his name in every single one of the moves. Like, you got Todd Capitated.
Wait a minute, why? That is also what Todd
Capitated. You just got Todd Embowed. You sound a little close up on the mic, Carlin. I don't know if you can back it off a little bit.
I can just put it above my head a little bit better.
Now you sound way far. Okay. You went from deep throating the mic to like sitting 30 feet away from me.
Hey, he was Todd throating that mic.
Was he Todd throating or was he deep Todding?
I don't like the way this is going. At first it was cool. Now it's just getting out of control.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Gimme the Loot podcast. The Dungeons & Dragons 5th Edition Actual Play Podcast, where the only thing more inconsistent than your Dungeon Master's ability to remember an NPC name is the party's ability to remember their character voices. My name's Turner, and I'll be your Dungeon Master, at least until Lootcoin takes off, the cryptocurrency based on the Party of Five. Because if you're going to spend as much time in a fantasy world as we do, why not make up your own fucking money? If you're a new listener, welcome. After you listen to this episode, you can either go back to the very beginning and listen from the start, or you can jump back to the DM-splaining recap of the first arc. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. We always appreciate you making time for us in your busy podcast listening schedule. New or old, we'd love to hear from you, either directly via email at DM for Dungeon Master at gmdlcast.com or on social media at gmdlcast on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, but mostly Twitter. And speaking of feedback, we'd really appreciate it if you could take a moment to head over to whichever podcast platform provides you with your entertainment and click a few stars, hit subscribe, maybe give us a review. That feedback really does make a difference in the life of a new podcast and helps make us more visible to others around. We appreciate your participation. And while you're participating, tell your friends about the podcast, tell your family, coworkers, hold up a sign while wearing a mask, and safely socially distance to let complete strangers know that we exist. Word of mouth is possibly the most valuable tool for a young podcast to grow, and every little bit you do helps. Okay, so announcements for this episode, and this is kind of going to be a long one, so please bear with me. First of all, as you may remember from a couple episodes ago, we talked about changing up the format a little bit. This will be one of the first episodes where we try that, where the episode body is a little bit shorter, not just because this first part's a little bit longer, but because I wanted to try breaking up the episodes into slightly smaller chunks and releasing more frequently. So in addition to the episode that came out today, we will also be releasing a second episode later in the week. I'm shooting for midweek, but it may happen closer to the end of the week. The big announcement is our Patreon is live. You can head over to patreon.com/GMDLcast, just like all our social media, and check out our page. In addition to getting exclusive content and some kind of cool loot, patrons will be helping the Party of Five improve recording equipment, improve recording environments, as well as getting some additional graphic design, which will turn around and produce cooler loot. So first off, real quick, I just want to hit on the tiers and what some of the bonus content they contain. First tier is the Todd. If you're a Todd supporter, you get access to our Discord, as well as bonus world and character lore and details. That includes character sheet, setting descriptions, DM rough outlines, things of that nature. Then there's the Moyle, our next tier. If you're a Moyle supporter, you'll get access to unpublished pre-show dialogue and outtakes. All of those pre-show snippets that you guys hear clipped in between our theme song are pulled from the guys chatting for a little bit before we leap into the show. Those things usually last up to 45 minutes to an hour, and I chop out 30 seconds of it. And some of it's pretty funny. Some of it gives you a little bit of background on the individuals themselves or some non-D&D stories that they tell. Some of them get into cheesecake recipes. There's a lot there. It's a lot there. In addition to the unpublished pre-show dialogues and other unpublished outtakes, you'll get access to the Tournament of Champions, a 1v1 combat series where the party of five individually faces off first against monsters, then against villains, and eventually against each other for bragging rights on who truly is the best player of them all. God help us if Todd wins. Next up, you've got the Eldrin. And before I forget, every tier of support gets the previous tier's benefits as well. So as I go into these, I'm just going to talk about what we're adding into them. In the Eldrin, you add the ability to enter names into an NPC naming pool. That way we can start getting NPCs that are named after things other than what's on my desk at any moment. Although Argella is a pretty good name. In addition, we're taking that chunk of the show at the end where the guys shouted at each other about who was really the coolest and breaking it off into its own after show. So that MVP section is moving into is going to morph a little bit into a full-blown after show that we do after we complete a story chunk. And that's moving back there for two reasons. One, we wanted to beef that up and to make it more of a conversation about the session or the arc and give the guys the opportunity to ask some behind-the-scenes questions for patrons. But also, honestly, having it tied at the end of every single session and having it really tied my hands on how I could break episodes up for editing. And since I wanted to try a couple of different things, moving it into another format was just absolutely critical. Next up, we've got the Fate tier. So supporters at the Fate level get an opportunity to fill the loot bag to create homebrew magic items or suggest homebrew magic items that can go into the loot pool for the party of five to earn, or perhaps even for the party of five's foes to use against them. Here's where you'll earn access to DM encounter and scenario notes for the party's adventures. As I go through this, I'll be taking my notes from all the way back to the original setting, including the maps, and there's air quotes there, that I created for the guys to flesh out scenario encounters. So if you wanted to run a lumberjack rescue operation for your players at home or your friends online, you would have the opportunity to do so. We'll also be publishing a bonus podcast that is tentatively being called The Hunter's Party. So we found out, as we were talking about the end of Supernatural, that Jazz and Andrew have never watched it. So we've decided to do a bonus cast for our patrons where we sit down with a couple of the members of the podcast and go through episode by episode for Supernatural. Now, what we are going to do with that is we are also going to take the monster of the week and we are going to tie it to either a D&D monster, or if there's not a direct analog, we may homebrew it. We may pull something in for Pathfinder, but there's also going to be a D&D element to there at the end. So expect a little bit of a Supernatural review / trivia / D&Dification as bonus content in the Hunter's Party, name to be potentially changed later. You also at this tier get a Money 20 decal, which is the Gimme the Loot logo, that D20 with the dollar sign with the banner wrapped around it. And then there's the big boy, the Baba. The Baba is our highest level tier. Supporters at the level are going to get the opportunity to, once a quarter, get an invite to a special one-shot session with members of the cast, either run by myself or one of the other members of the cast, adventuring alongside several members of the cast. It'll be an opportunity to play D&D with the party of five. At that level, you'll also get a custom shout out at the end of each episode. And this is where our Patreon quarterly merch drops will happen at the Baba tier. You get that exclusive sticker and then a mug and then a t-shirt and then a tote bag. All right now have the Money 20 decal. Like I said, what we're going to be doing with the support that comes in for Patreon, the very first thing is there's some additional equipment upgrades the gang needs to do that I need to do to continue to improve our audio quality, which has been on an upward trend since we started. In addition to that, once we feel like we've gotten that accomplished, then we'll be using Patreon support to go back out and get some additional graphic design done, which will then turn around and generate cooler, newer loot for you guys, including some things that I'm really excited about, but I don't want to talk about until we get them locked down. So yeah, that was a long one. Thank you for your patience. But I wanted to kind of go over all that stuff. I may do a separate Patreon announcement post in the future. So, wow. Thanks, guys. I appreciate your patience with that. But I'm really excited to kind of get that going and to continue to develop what we can offer to the public as premium content. It's something that I'm passionate about. And I think the rest of the party is as well. And we want to be able to give you guys some value for your support. While I'm at it, though, I do want to mention, in addition to our podcast, Harland appears quite regularly on the Pop-Up Film podcast. And Jamie's a regular contributor to the Three Angry Gamers podcast, a video game news and review podcast. I will post links to those in the show notes below. I've also started adding the social media for the individual cast members who are on social. So cool. So check those out in the notes below. And one last thing, sorry, Give Me the Loot is not a family-friendly podcast due to a combination of profanity, dick jokes, and fantasy violence and gore. Any specific content warnings will be included in the notes below. Awesome. Again, thank you so much for your patience. Let's hop over to an incredibly awkward introduction, a recap, and on with the show. All right, guys, welcome back to the Gimme the Loot podcast. We've got the crew here with us again. That would be all. Just let's go. You guys figure out which.
My bad. We'll start.
This is Jazz playing Fate.
Anthony playing Baba.
He's immediately on top of each other.
Well, this is Harlan playing Todd T to the O double D.
This is Andrew playing Moyle, the Dragonborn cleric.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Todd playing TTO00D.
Yeah, let's not. That's not even amusing when you put it in as the screen name for the recording. Let's maybe say your character name.
Todd the Tiefling.
Okay, there we go. Thank you.
What's so good is the uncertainty. Todd the Tiefling.
The Tiefling?
Question mark.
It's like a valley girl.
What?
Okay, I'm Jamie playing Eldrin.
Moyle, did you introduce yourself?
Yeah, I'll introduce again. This is
You've been really
deep. I'm so deep in the world that I forgot my real name. This is Andrew playing Moyle, the Dragonborn cleric.
So you guys had headed into the woods and inadvertently into the Feywild in pursuit of a witch who was accused of running everyone out of town after eating some children. You journeyed to the Feywild past the Riddles 3, which really felt more like Riddles 2.5 after you guys got done with it. Got inside and then got into a fight with almost every single piece of furniture in the house. Moyle did some research on the economical implications of sex work in the Amsunian economy. Fate raided the pantry, and then you guys actually discovered that the entire thing was a ploy carried out by Roger, who was in fact actually a knight codger, a male version of a knight hag, who would take kind of lonely women, bring them to the Feywild under the guise of being their patron, and amuse himself for a few decades before tricking a group of adventurers into coming in and slaying the old woman so that they would be corrupted before he finished them off. But in this particular case, he wasn't quite up to the task of finishing you guys off, and you dispatched him, looted the remaining bit of the house, and fled back to the material plane, where you discovered at least three months had passed while you were gone, because as you stepped back through the gate, you realized from the changes in the forest and the changes in temperature that it was no longer spring, but actually on the edge of winter. And that's where we pick up. So as you guys step through the iron gate back into the material plane from the Feywild, the first thing you notice, the gate when you'd walk through was a big double swing kind of almost like a double door, French door kind of style gate with a metal arch set into a wrought iron fence. As you step through and turn around, you realize where there used to be an old crumbling down version of the house that you saw in the Feywild, it's all completely gone. The only thing that stands in the clearing now is the gate itself and two crumbling segments of walls holding it in place. And in fact, as you step through, it tilts over and falls flat onto the ground and just becomes completely inert and inactive. You guys are in the middle of the woods.
What time of day is it?
It's in the late afternoon, early evening.
Oh, okay.
You've got a couple of options. You can head back to the town where you met Roger, or you can camp out for the night, or you can get right back on the road heading back to Taliesin.
Well, guys, I don't want to run into those paladins again.
I mean, months have passed, it looks like. Do you think they're still following us?
No, I hope not. It was just like a small little tricking. Like, we didn't kill anybody. maybe the statute of limitation is up.
We killed the paladins, though.
We might not have killed anyone, but I feel like they might still have questions for us concerning the deaths of several people.
Oh, fuck.
So I still say we should be on guard.
Yes, for sure.
Let's continue on our way, shall we? We still need to get questions as to whatever is happening to us all.
Just a reminder, if you guys can either take a long rest here and go ahead and camp out on this spot, go back to the town and try and take a long rest at the inn again, or maybe head on down the road until you guys get to another waypoint and stay at a Ducky's Travel Lodge.
I say we just take a long rest.
Yeah, we can rest here.
Seems pretty safe, I guess. Yeah.
Somebody give me some survival checks.
God damn it. Shit.
Not for a bad thing. I'm just like what kind of amenities are you going to find out in the...
Okay.
By somebody, you mean not fate.
Baba and Eldrin would really be the two. And with the 18 on survival, Baba, you're actually able to find a kind of an established trail that looks like it was used by trappers. There's a little bit of a blind setup where there's an older fire pit next to a little bit of a stream. So you guys could get cleaned up and camp well for the night. And then the blind actually has a platform set up for somebody to kind of sit up on and watch out over the forest. So how are you guys doing watch?
I can take first watch. I only need 4 hours. So
that's what I was saying. So is it a long nap, long rest is the full 8 hours, so we have to have shifts of just however we decide. Do you need 4 hours for a complete heal up?
Yeah, I mean...
Yeah, technically you guys could just have Fate and Eldrin do watch, yeah, because they're fine. Two elves. One could... because they meditate for 4 hours, and as they meditate, they actually go back in and typically experience past lives from their previous incarnations.
Yeah, and a long rest doesn't mean that you're necessarily asleep for 8 hours. You're just doing nothing.
Yeah.
Oh. Like, chilling.
Todd needs his beauty rest, so he sleeps. So
that's right. It? You're not even going to offer to take watch? Okay.
No, you said you can meditate. I was told that you meditate. I sleep.
That is true.
I sleep. So it makes sense that you guys would do that thing.
Mm-hmm. Fate is perfectly fine with splitting the watch between himself and Eldrin if necessary.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, you know.
You lower life forms need your sleep.
Elves are better than the rest of you. It's cool.
I can't hear you. I'm sleeping. Cannot hear you. I'm sleeping.
I stay awake a bit for her first watch.
All right. Fate, were you going to identify that ring?
Yes. Yeah, so Fate, as he's gathered the information that was available on that scroll, also notes that there's a component for the spell that is required that cannot be avoided. It needs a rather large pearl. So if anybody wants anything identified, they'll have to come up with that pearl first.
Fresh out of pearl.
There's a pearl? Random pearl? Just
a good size pearl. It's probably going to be something around 100 gold or so worth of pearl.
Where do we buy such a 100 gold pearl at?
Most likely in town.
At the Pearl Mart. Todd, God damn it. What do you think?
Pearls are us? Come on.
Fisherman's Wharf. Fantasy Zales.
All right.
So you guys drift off to sleep. As you do, so who all staying up at first? It's Eldrin and Baba.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Fate, as you drift off and go into your meditative state, you're used to slipping back into the lives of one of your ancestors. You know, elves very much believe in reincarnation and the recycling of the spirit self through Corellian, but you find yourself someplace new. You are in a large circular chamber, domed. It's dark, it's empty, and it's featureless. You know you're standing there, and you have a sense of self, but you don't necessarily see your body. You can hear something moving through the darkness around you. It sounds a little bit like the padded foot of an animal with a slight drag of claws. Then out from the darkness approaches a sphinx. It stares at you in the eyes, and then its eyes drift up to the point on your body where the shard of the pentahedron entered you. You feel a slight stinging and a flare. And in that moment, it leaps forward and claws at where the pentahedron entry point would be on your body.
Oh, no.
And you wake up.
Clutching at that spot.
And in fact, Todd, you experience something very similar. As you fall asleep, you find yourself standing in a empty, domed chamber in darkness. And around you, you hear a strange clicking of hooves, not quite like a clopping, like a horse hoof, but almost, it's almost as if it was a cloven horse hoof. And then drifting towards you from the darkness is the most majestic unicorn you've ever seen. And it tips its head forward and points its horn at the point on the leg where the pentahedron entered your body, and then lunges forward. And right as its horn pierces your leg, you feel a sharp, flaring pain and wake up.
Shit.
Moyle, so you'd fell asleep with the first group. When you fell asleep, you drifted off and you woke up in a metallic domed chamber in darkness. You recognize it to being similar to the theater that you experienced on your mushroom trip. This isn't a new space for you. You feel like you've been here before, but it's hard to ascertain what's going on because it's pitch black. You barely have a sense of self, but you can hear something circling in the dark, and it's almost a slither or maybe a squelch. And then a giant tentacle comes snaking towards you out of the darkness and kind of rises up a little bit like a serpent. And then it seems to fixate and point at the point on your body where the shard of the tetrahedron entered you. And then it darts forward and smashes into your chest, and you wake up. And as you wake up from your sleep, you see Fate pop out of his meditation and Todd wake up from sleeping at the same time. And there is a slight glow on your chest where the scar or mark from the pentahedron entering your body has now started to extend some scroll work out from its original entry point, but then it fades.
Mm. So it must have been Gary Garcia.
He's not copyrighted. Okay. You can say Cthulhu Jerry Garcia. You guys feel great. I mean, you don't feel bad at all. Todd, in fact, you feel faster than you've ever felt. You almost feel like you could move faster than you previously could. You feel just as rested if you'd slept the whole night. Fate, things just seem to make a little bit more sense to you. And you feel like if you focused, you would be able to understand any language once a day. So basically, you have the innate ability to cast comprehend languages once a day for free. And then if you want to burn a spell slot to cast it a second time, you can. Todd, your movement increases to 45.
From 30.
From 30. And Moyle, you gain...
Wait, I knew it. Shouldn't have eaten those mushrooms.
You actually are almost floating a little bit when you wake up, and you drift back down to the ground. And now you have the ability to cast Featherfall for free once a day with the ability option to burn more spell slots to cast at additional times. So Featherfall once a day for free with the ability to burn additional slots.
It's like I'm a Victoria's Secret angel.
Okay. Or like a feather.
The three of you that were asleep, Moyle, Fate, and Todd, all sit up, and Baba, you and Eldrin see this. In fact, Baba, you and Eldrin give me perception checks real quick.
25.
Oh, fuck. Eldrin definitely sees it. You guys notice with the 18, with the crit on perception, Eldrin for 25 total, and with the 18 on perception, Baba, you guys were on guard. You hear these three bolt upright and pivot over to them. And I don't know if they all necessarily see this themselves, but you two definitely see it on all of them. I don't imagine you guys were sleeping in a semicircle around each other, that when you sit up, you're all making eye contact with each other. So I don't know if Todd, you, Eldrin, and Moyle recognize that this happened with each other, but Eldrin, you and Baba definitely catch it. You can see the point where the pentahedron entered their body glow, and some small tendrils extend out from the entry point. Originally, when it entered your body, it was a triangular shape, glowing entry wound that faded with just a slight after image. But now it almost looks like it's extending, not veins, but almost scrollwork or filigree seems to be sprouting from it just a little bit. But then it fades back and it settles back into them and it's disappeared again.
That was fucking weird.
And we only notice it on them?
You notice it on the three of them, yes.
Nothing happened to ours.
Yeah, you guys haven't slept. So nothing has happened with yours yet. But you do know, you can intuit. Actually, give me an insight check real quick.
14. No, 12. I read the wrong one.
Yeah, so you guys can kind of figure that they've gone through something and it seemed to have happened at the same time, because they all, you know, roughly went to sleep at the same time and then all definitely shot up awake at the same time. So you can tell there was some kind of shared experience.
Guys, that was a pretty good sleep. Probably the best sleep I've ever had. I actually feel faster. Do you guys remember how I ran that mile that last time?
What was the time?
Like,
no, Jesus.
I remember how you ran it the second time.
No, see, that's not the part I was talking about. I clearly said remember that first. I didn't say that first time, but I'm saying it now. I clearly am saying it now for the first time. Do you remember the first time I ran that mile and how fast it was? No. I am at least 50% faster right now. I feel it. Whoa.
Exactly 50%.
Some people can't quantify it, but when you're as an elite athlete as I am, I can quantify I feel 50% faster than I was before.
It's pretty precise.
Maybe you could show us how well you can hurdle over a bar now again.
Listen, I said faster. There was.
I can still outrun you.
What?
I can still outrun you.
Listen. I don't think you can.
You want to race?
So you're saying that you could hide faster. I got it.
Todd plays hide and go seek and only does the hiding.
Listen. I'll race. I'm not afraid to race. You said you. I'm just letting you guys know I'm faster now after that rest.
So you just woke up feeling faster?
Yeah.
Like nothing else notable about why you might feel faster? I mean,
I have no clue.
I saw some crazy shit, man. Like, you guys were all sleeping there and there was some light like coming out of you. It was fucked up. Like,
y'all were glowing. Yeah, I seen it too.
I didn't see anything.
There's tendrils. It was
from where?
Wait. So you're telling me that other stuff happened to other people?
Yeah, all three of you guys. There was some glowy thing coming out of you. It looked like tendrils or something. It was bizarre. Like
tendrils.
I had this weird dream with a unicorn involved in it. It wasn't as weird as you think it is. I know what you're thinking.
Whoa.
It wasn't that weird, but it was weird. Okay.
I mean, you strike me as the kind of person who dreams about unicorns. I mean, that tracks. So.
Listen. Did I just tell you it wasn't that weird? It was just, first of all, I don't ever dream about unicorns. This mm-hmm. was, it was weird in the fact that there was a unicorn there, but nothing weird happened. It's okay.
And was it a unicorn in a sort of I Heart Pony sort of way? Or was it in like the more like mystical, medieval tapestry sort of way.
It was majestic as shit, as I was once once told.
Unicorns are majestic as shit. That is true.
So is anyone? I don't know if anyone else experiencing anything, but yes,
this is all too strange. We need to get to the city, Scarlet.
I had a conversation with the Sphinx.
Oh, what?
A Sphinx? What was the head? Proportional or smaller than the body? I want to understand how far back the Sphinx came from.
It was proportional?
Oh, this is really far back.
Yeah.
Wow. I saw a familiar tentacle.
What?
Guys.
A familiar tentacle?
Yeah, not in a hentai manner, okay?
I'm thinking that yours might have been a little weirder than mine.
Hold on. But after the conversation that I don't recall, it attacked me.
The tentacle?
No, the Sphinx. I didn't have
it. Only you had tentacles, remember?
Oh, I'm sorry. My bad.
The Sphinx attacked me right here. And Fate gestures at where the entry wound from the pentahedron shard would have been.
That's where you were glowing. It was gross.
I'm going to leave that up to smarter people than me. I'm just fast. I feel it. 50% faster.
Still slower.
You guys gonna finish out camping for the night?
Yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and rest.
Yeah, I guess I'm done.
Yeah, I need my 4 hours of beauty meditation.
Not to sound creepy, but are any of the remaining party gonna stay up and watch Fate and Baba sleep?
Eldrin and Baba. Fate'll be up.
Eldrin and Baba, sorry.
Anybody want to roll dice?
No.
You just wake up in the middle of the night and decide you want to fucking roll dice?
I thought you needed your beauty sleep.
What else am I going to do?
Don't you need beauty sleep? Go back to sleep. That was 4 hours. Go back to sleep.
I already had it. I already had my sleep. And if every time I sleep, I'm going to see dreams like that, I'll stay up for a little while longer.
All right. What you got? How much money you got? We can bet something on it.
It's a weird shit. I'm going away. Bye. Goodbye.
All right. Well, we're gonna cut over to Baba and Eldrin's spirit animal encounters while you guys shoot craps.
Nice.
Baba, you pass into sleep fairly easily. Find yourself in a large domed room in darkness. There's no vision. You don't see your body, but you definitely have a sense of presence, a sense of self. You hear the low bass rumbling growl of a large cat circling you in the darkness. But what steps forward towards you isn't truly a cat. Two large fanged toothed tentacles stretch from its back, and you instinctively recognize this as a displacer beast. It stops, stares at you, looks behind you for a moment, then stares back at the entry point where the pentahedron shard entered your body, then lunges forward and strikes at that point with the tentacle. Eldrin, again, domed, dark room, floating in darkness, sense of self, but no real... You don't necessarily hear something so much at first as you do smell a extremely familiar odor that is both somewhat dusty and somewhat musky. And you immediately know what it is before it even steps into the light, an owlbear moves forward.
God damn it.
It's not the owlbear. You would recognize that one on sight, but it is a large, fully grown owlbear. And it stares at your pentahedron mark for a moment before leaping forward and biting into your shoulder with its beak, and you wake up. Were you guys was anybody watching them sleep, or do we want roll perception checks for that?
Come on, man. I'm not a creep.
Fate is up and guarding this party.
Fate, you see them pop awake after we're just about 2 hours worth of sleep. It happened fairly early into the rest. Although you guys wake up feeling fully rested, the same phenomena that they described to you appears to have happened to them. Baba, it was your arm. Eldrin, I believe it was your shoulder, mm-hmm. where the pentahedron entered you. You can see the triangular mark flare into visibility from underneath any armor or clothing, and the tendrils start to creep out from it. Again, it's not fully formed into anything yet. It looks like a dense core of magic is almost unspooling a little bit, Fate, as you look at it from an arcane perspective.
Yes. So Fate is like right on top of Baba right now, like trying to observe all of this
Okay.
Whoa. Just like standing right over him. Whoa. Like,
are you clothed? Are you clothed? Are you clothed?
like Bob is gonna wake up and Fate is definitely like right in his face, but he's not on top of him, but he's just like standing over him, like noting furiously, trying to see what the hell's going on, like trying to draw this whole thing out.
Bob, while you were sleeping, he was trying to teabag you.
I'm definitely going to put a hand on him and slowly extend, push him away.
Baba, you feel heartier and haler than you ever have before. You innately know that you are now resistant to poison and disease and resistant to poison and disease damage. So you have advantage on saving throws against poison and disease effects. And if for some reason you still fail, you still take half damage from them. Eldrin, you feel even more connected to the Fae than you ever have before. And you felt like if you focused and encouraged everyone to believe by clapping, you could cast Fairy Fire once a day for free, or you could cast it multiple times by burning a spell slot.
I get the Peter Pan spell. All right.
Clap for it, though.
That was weird.
Every day, a star is
born. That was a weird vision, for sure.
Did you see a unicorn?
Nope, not a unicorn. Just, you know, the creature that haunts my dreams all the time, but not quite the same one. Yeah, it was not great. It was weird.
But
I definitely woke up feeling different. I don't know what happened. Like a shoulder, saw something attack me there, and now I feel like I can use this fairy spell.
Are you dead in touch with yourself? You could just feel it. Unlike,
I mean, I'm pretty sure. You want me to show you? I could. I don't know if I want to waste it right now, but yeah.
Chance are you'd miss anyway. So,
oh man, you know what? Can I cast Fairy Fire on on Todd?
As a matter of fact, you can. I can just decide.
I'm gonna do that. Fuck you, Todd.
Listen, you know what? You'll miss.
You know why this is, Todd? It's because you're TOOD. You're
So each object in a 20-foot cube within range is outlined in blue, green, or violet light. Your choice. Any creature in the area when the spell is cast is also outlined in the light if they fail a dexterity saving throw.
Blue. Sure.
And do I have to do a dexterity saving throw?
Yes, you do.
Take this. Suck it.
God damn it.
Suck it. I told you you'd miss. Oh, for the people who need to know, I rolled a 19. I told you you'd miss.
I mean, you see all this other stuff glowing, right? Like, you see it.
I see a bunch of stuff. I
do appreciate it if you guys call out your roles, especially when you fail, because otherwise it just sounds like I'm being a dick on the podcast. Like, if you go back and listen, it sounds like for no reason I just made Todd do a header out of the tree because his failed acrobatics role wasn't recorded anywhere.
So what you're saying is you woke up with sparkle fingers. Is what you're telling me is when you went to sleep and woke up with sparkle fingers?
I mean, if you want to call it that, I mean, everything else is glowing. It's pretty cool. I mean, just saying.
Oh. Yeah, a little glowing light pops up and goes, "Hey, listen."
Oh, God.
Okay.
Kill it. Kill it with fire. Fairy fire.
You guys have a weird shared experience encountering what we're going to call your spirit animals. Moyle, give me a nature roll real quick.
Nature boy.
Woo.
And Moyle rolls a nat 20.
Ooh.
Okay, so yeah, you know that wasn't just any tentacle. That was a kraken tentacle. The kraken being too large to actually slither all the way up into the chamber. You just got the tentacle treatment.
The tentacle treatment, eh? Sounds like it. That's a title I remember.
Fate would like to know, he's going to ask Bob, what was it that you saw out of curiosity?
I was attacked by a displacer beast. Hit me and over here on the arm. Then I woke up.
And Eldrin, if I recall correctly, yours was in the shoulder, yes? I saw you were glowing also?
Yep, attacked in the shoulder by an owlbear.
And Todd, where's your mark?
It's on my leg. That's why I'm super fast, you know.
And Moyo, my scaled friend, what about you? Where's your mark?
The chest, because I'm awesome.
And, oh, for the life of me, as I'm noting all this down, I've forgotten where mine is. Does anybody remember where I was glowing?
It's on your forehead above one of your eyes.
And the face. Okay. Interesting. Well, there's got to be some type of connection between these pentahedron shards and these beasts we are seeing. I'm just going to continue making notes of this, as we'll probably need information as we go to get help. But yeah. If anything else occurs, please let me know.
All right. So it's about you guys can go ahead and take off and head down the road to Taliesin. It's about a 3-day trek from where you're currently at. If you go by the winding ways, or if you cut cross country, it'd be about 5 days on foot.
Shortcut.
Shortcut.
We were being hunted on the shortcut, remember?
3 months ago?
It was 3 months ago.
Yeah, I think the shortcut now is probably safe.
All right.
Eldrin, give me a history check.
If they've been sitting on the shortcut for 3 months, they deserve a fight.
19.
You know, on the winding ways, if you take the winding ways, you guys will go through one waypoint in between where you're currently positioned and Taliesin. So you'll have to figure out whether you guys want to disguise yourselves before you go in there, creep up on it, avoid the waypoint itself. But that might also be a good opportunity to resupply or check in and see if you are still wanted and kind of suss out the lay of the land before going on to a major city.
Do we have like a bunch of fake noses and wigs that we could wear to disguise ourselves?
We have an illusion. We have a trickster cleric who can disguise himself.
Yeah, I guess that makes more sense, huh?
I've got stealth.
And you're really fast.
Remember, and you guys remember, Moyle was the one they were looking for last time.
All right, I can use disguise self if you guys would like. Just let me know when I should use it.
Yeah, once we get
this.
Okay, all right. Nothing eventful happens in between your camp location till you get back to the winding way. Did you guys want to pass back through the town where you encountered Roger, or were you going to kind of circumvent that and cut through the woods until you got back to the winding way?
Did he treat us by himself? Was he, when we were at his house, was he by himself?
Yeah, he was the only person in our village.
Yes, there was no one else in the town.
Everyone else is gone.
Is there anything worth looking for in that town? Maybe a bank that we could rob?
I mean, we'd have to go there to find that out.
There might be breakfast.
International?
Doubtful.
All right. I guess we can go back and see what happened to that village that we know that the old man is, he's been dispatched.
Is that the opposite direction of where we're going?
No, that would, when you guys originally fled the winding way where you had the encounter with the paladins, you headed northwest through the forest, which is where you found that little farming town. So you could angle back towards the winding way, hit the town, and then just head due east and get back there without going back to the waypoint you had a problem with.
Yeah, let's do that. I want to search his house. He probably has.
As you guys are walking towards town, what's your marching order?
2x2, hurrah.
I'll go first.
I'll be second. I'm right behind. Actually, no, I'm first.
I'll take up the rear then.
So you can't even complain.
Fate will be in the middle.
Baba, then give me a perception check as you start to approach the town.
Roll a 5. I see nothing.
Okay. Yeah, so you're a little bit taken aback then as you guys roll into town and find it full of people and thriving. There is a quaint little farmer's market set up in the plaza with a number of stalls and carts. Roger's Inn looks like it's in fantastic shape, and a couple is out front greeting passerbys and selling what appear to be some kind of variety of baked goods out of a basket that, you know, isn't necessarily for people who stayed at the inn, but this inn kind of functions both as a community gathering house as an inn, since this is kind of off the road. This is the kind of community that has been really hurt by the development of the winding ways, because the traffic has been pulled out of their normal range. So some of the businesses have had to try and reposition themselves. There's a blacksmith clanging away at his forge. You can see a weaver kind of sitting out in front of her shop, working a loom back and forth. But yeah, it's a quaint little country town. There's no sign of any of the shenanigans that Roger seem to have pulled during your last visit here.
Can I go up and talk to the passerbyers, the one handing out flyers or cakes or whatever she was doing?
The innkeeper lady?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Excuse me, could you let us, last time I was here was about 3 months ago. There was no one here. Can you tell me what might have happened in those 3 months?
She seems to be a little bit intimidated that you just kind of rolled up onto her. She's clearly not used to talking to tieflings and her use.
Do I have to charm her with my charisma? Does she?
You can try and do some persuade. How are you being charming?
I guess I don't want to intimidate. That doesn't work out in my favor.
If you give me a performance check, we can say that you like came up and did like a courtly bow.
Hello, milady.
Yeah, and pulled out one of those.
Hello, milady. Perform.
Because I will say, as a employee of Bernadette's Bounty Hunting and Banquet Services, Todd has had to work in situations where etiquette and decorum are necessary for the minimum level of customer service that Bernadette likes to maintain. So Todd would know how to behave in public. He just chooses not to most times.
Yes. So a performance check is needed. I rolled an 18.
Well, it turns out if he wants to be, Todd is pretty charming. So you can tell she was startled a little bit at first, but then she takes in your overall demeanor and the way that you've approached her. And she goes, oh, I'm sorry, sir. You must be mistaken, though. We haven't had a gentleman of your caliber in our inn at all this past year.
No, I'm pretty sure I was here. I had a continental breakfast with a guy in something Wellington. Did that ring a bell or anything like that? When I was here, there was no one here but him.
And you, at the mention of the name Wellington, you can see her pale visibly a little bit. And she goes, oh my, have a complimentary roll, sir. And she like throws a roll at you and then grabs her basket and walks inside.
Okay.
I grab Todd and kind of bring him back and kind of huddle up with everybody. I think it's been far longer than we think it's been. Remember the house? It was completely demolished. It was gone. It's been longer than 3 months.
Oh, well, that's possible.
Do we know what year it was before?
Can we ask someone what date it is?
Well, yeah, I don't know.
Like Scrooge, what day is it?
Christmas, eh?
So Fate was muted this whole time. He was wanting to try and chase down the lady as she was running away from Todd to ask her what year it is.
Yeah, you guys have been gone for over 2 years.
Whoa.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Well, I don't think the paladins are after us then.
Well, okay.
All right.
Or they're very pissed. Yeah, they could be more mad.
I feel like a free man.
Is there an inn anywhere around here that we can possibly look for supplies since now this is a vibrant town?
I mean, Todd, the inn wasn't the inn right where you were talking to the innkeeper?
Is the inn, I'm talking, I mean shop. Any place else that we could possibly look around? I know there's a blacksmith place.
So it's a small self-sustaining farming village. They're going to have a blacksmith to help take care of the shodding, farm animals, and plows. There's a weaver to help make clothes. There is probably a barber / alchemist / doctor / midwife. And then there's the inn and the vendors who are hawking wares kind of at the farmer's market. There are a couple of them that you can tell have done some homespun crafts. This is mostly a kind of off the grid, self-sufficient little village. I mean, what are you looking for?
Oh, none. Just in case potions, we can buy something, like, you know what I mean? Just like
you're not going to get any potions here. You guys will pass through a waypoint on the way to Taliesin, but.
Okay.
So no pearls, no large pearls here.
Yeah, just
No, you're not going to find any large pearls here. Mm-hmm.
Letting the idea of the fact that 2 years have gone by, wash over him, Fate's kind of sauntering around town. Then he, while he was doing that, he's going to pop one of his, pomegranates. He's going to pop one of his pomegranates in his mouth, chew on that.
I will say, Fate, that there is a small nature temple here with a cleric of a high enough level to cast remove disease on you.
Yes. He's still going to eat a pomegranate, though. Oh, church. And so he's
back up.
Oh, no.
Are you eating that pomegranate before you get the spell cast on you or after you get the spell cast on you?
Before I get the spell cast on me.
Okay. All right. Then roll a d8.
You know, he's sauntering around town. He's just chewing on the pomegranate. He's like, ooh, a church. And he tries to kind of run off that way. That d8 comes up to a 3.
So when you say you're chewing on a pomegranate, do you mean like a single seed in a pomegranate or do like the whole thing?
He bites just into like pomegranates like they are peaches. He bites into them like they are peaches.
The outside of a pomegranate is not very good.
That's
like
true.
They are peaches, sir.
But it's open, so he's biting into it.
Oh, okay. I see.
All your hair falls out.
Wait, what?
That's not temporary either. You're bald. Fate, yeah.
You need a mirror, Fate. You look ridiculous.
Okay, so
you just don't learn, do you, Fate? You
now he's just going to absolutely just bolt to said church.
Eat that alopecia granite.
An elderly woman who is clearly a long-standing member of the community and member of a church of the nature deity greets you upon entry. And it's not so much a church as it is a shrine. There is a large statue of the nature goddess standing, arms outreached, and you can tell people come and put offerings here. And there's a woman tending the shrine, like kind of scrubbing the stone of the statue to keep it shiny.
My lady, I come to you for assistance.
What can I do for you, my nice young man?
I am ill. I have befallen some illness, and it is having horrible effects on my body. And I come seeking your aid, that hoping that you might be able to remove this the sickness or disease from me.
Oh, I would be happy to treat. Now, hold on. Let me see. I think I have something. While I look for my my reagents, why don't you just, make a little offering to the goddess, if you know what I mean, and we will,
She kind of looks at you and looks at the tithe box and then looks at you and then looks at the tithe box.
All right. So, Fate coughs up, we'll go with 15 gold.
She seems to nod appreciatively at that. It was your choice to donate what you wanted, but she would have thought less of you had you gone on the cheap. She casts cure disease on you, and she does notice that you're bald. In fact, you probably still have some hair like sitting on the shoulders of your robe where it all just flumped out instantly. And she kind of looks at you a little bit, and you see she casts another spell over you to be almost delving what else could have happened to you. And she says, "Oh, okay, this was almost like a wild magic effect, young man. Your hair will grow back exactly as it was in 24 hours.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. Okay. All right.
I mean, we just went to all that trouble to get character art done. I'm not going to change the way that your character looks like immediately after I just did that.
Oh, well, thank you, my lady. Thank you so much. And as he says that, he kind of gets up and leaves, and he tries to find like a nice quiet spot to dump all these all this fruit, these dates and pomegranates he's been toting around.
Okay, so where are you dumping them?
Ooh, is there any good place to dump them? That's what I said. He was looking around for somewhere.
An orphanage?
There's a garbage heap. I mean, you can toss them.
Yeah, I want to go toss them. You can go
toss them in the garbage heap. Okay.
I'm about to give those kids diabetes. The street urchins.
No, but Eldrin, roll a nature check for me. I think you're the one person who would have a shot at saying something about this.
A 9.
He rolls like shit, so no.
Yeah, with a 9, it seems like what he's doing is a good idea. So, all right, we'll move on from that.
It seems.
You guys head on down the road. Your first day on the, you get back to the Winding Way. It is a little bit wider than you remember. It's almost like another row or two of bricks have been added on. The glow is definitely stronger and a deeper shade of blue. And as you approach it, the winding ways have always had an effect on you when you stepped onto them. It's very much like when you first step onto a moving walkway in an airport or at a theme park, where there's that sense of being pulled forward, or that slight sense of momentum that you pick up as you step onto it. And it's almost like a little bit of a charge of energy. And that's usually when you can associate that you've stepped into the field that protects you from wild beasts. You actually feel that field a good 5 feet before you get on to the bricks of the way now. So you can feel that the magic has intensified enough that it almost seems to radiate out a little bit more than it originally had. And as soon as you guys get on the winding way, you're marching on down the road. It's the Wiz. You guys lock arms and swing your legs around and do the jaunty little step.
Don't you carry nothing that might be a...
No? Nobody? Okay.
Nice. Nice. Anthony gets MVP for the podcast for this episode.